Thank you for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Well, having a godly mother is an awesome treasure. And so let's give all the moms a round of applause today in this house. I would say, why don't you give them a standing ovation? They deserve it, don't they? Amen. Come on. Happy Mother's Day. How you doing, moms? All right, probably have a lot planned today. I just want to get your attention on the Word for a few moments. You have some notes before you and encourage you of what it means to carry your heart before the Lord and be a man or a woman, a mom or a dad that has a heart for God fully and absolutely. And so just a few things to focus on this morning. I believe this, that if you have a heart that's on fire for the things of God, that it doesn't matter what challenges life throws at you, you can make it through anything because you know Him and you carry your heart before Him and you desire to know Him in a powerful way. So men and women with a heart for God can face anything the world tries to throw at them. I believe that with all my heart. And so that's what I would want you to focus on this morning. It's what I'm going to encourage you in. The character of a man or a woman's heart determines the outcome of their lives. Doesn't mean that men and women don't make mistakes. Doesn't mean that you backslide, you turn away, you go through a tough time. But when you come back to God and you carry your heart before Him and you have the character of God in your heart, it has everything to do with the outcome of your lives. Amen? So let's just pray for this Word to saturate us today and encourage us today. Holy Spirit, I just ask for your raining down in this moment, in this time, that this Word would come alive, and that we would be encouraged today to carry our hearts before you, to live for you, Lord. Again, I thank you for the godly women in this house, the mothers. What a treasure they are in your eyes and in ours. And so, Lord, today, help us to go deeper in intimacy with you. And to know you in a greater way. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. Well, any individual, probably at some time in their life, they kind of want to know, how are they going to be remembered? How are people going to remember them? What are they going to say about them when they leave to go be with Jesus? I think it's important to know who you are. A lot of people don't know who they are. They're just wandering. I used to say wandering generalities. They're wandering around, not yet knowing Christ, because Christ and the Word of God is what gives you your identity and fulfills the purpose God has for you. You can't fulfill it any other way apart from God. You can do good things. You can make a lot of money, maybe not make a lot of money, have a big family. But if you don't know Christ, if you don't know His Word, and you're not running after Him, you'll never fulfill what God's called you to be, the fullness of it. And so this morning, we look at saints like Abraham, Moses. We think of Joshua. He came to mind, David and Peter and Paul. They've inspired believers throughout the ages because of their lives of faith and trust in the ways of God. And each of them, although hugely imperfect, when we think of David, we think of the adultery and we think of murder. And yet God calls David, King David, a man after His own heart. And so it's amazing to me, the example of what the Lord can do through hearts that are truly committed to Him, who say yes over and over and over and never give up. And do you want to be like some of these saints of old? Do you want to be called that you're a woman after God's heart, a man after God's heart, a young teenager? How do you want to be viewed? And I want to encourage you this morning to know that the greatest thing that could ever be said about you is the fact that you go hard after God and you reflect Him. Do you want to be like Him? A person who honors God wholeheartedly And I also said there in one that the benefits of being wholehearted for God is amazing. I think about my life of what it would have been like if I had not have chosen the Lord in my life. You know, sometimes you just kind of scan back and you think, what kind of person would I have been? I know I definitely would not have married Deanna if I hadn't chosen the Lord. I am so thankful for the journey that God has had me on. And we all should be thankful for that and encouraged by that. I'm going to go all the way to the end of the notes. Go all the way to four there, the conclusion. And the last thing that was put down. When you succeed, remember that all you are and have is a gift from God. Then you will show the world that your heart belongs exclusively to Him. When you succeed, remember all that you are and all that you have is a gift from God. If we could just get that in our hearts. Everything we have, everything we've received is a gift from the Lord. Over and over we hear, every breath we take, every breath you take is a gift from the Lord. Ray Hughes was headed to travel this weekend, and he gave me a call, and his mother-in-law passed away, 77 years old, Denise's mom. And he said, her legacy is amazing. Her legacy is amazing. When she was 17 years old, she chose Jesus. And so, for 60 years, she's been saying yes to the Lord. She's been saying it over and over. And he said, it's just amazing the outpouring of this woman's life. 60 years serving the Lord. What is going to be your legacy? Go back to number two. We have an excellent example to follow. And it's in King David. I want to be like Jesus. I know that he's perfect. I know that everything's right. But sometimes I think, man, I'm probably more like David than I am like Jesus. And I look at David sometimes as an example and an encouragement to me and hopefully to you today. The Bible says that King David followed God with all his heart, Acts 13, 22 through 23. At the core of everything he did was a desire to exalt the Lord. At the core of everything he did, his desire was to exalt the Lord. The Father wants our past to be governed by his plans and not our plans. Our interests to be defined by his purposes and not just our purposes. And our love to motivate us to obey him without reservation. When we pursue God's heart, we find life at its best and a legacy worth leaving to those who come after us. I won't go to verse 16, but I've written it down there, Acts 13, 16 through 23. And kind of put this verse in context. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul, who was murdering Christians. Now he's standing. He had an experience with the Lord. He's standing in the synagogue, and he's speaking and laying it out. He stands up and lays it out to all the people. And starting with verse 22, he said, after he had removed him, meaning King Saul. Saul was a man, I don't think, always after God's heart. But after he had removed King Saul, he, God, raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he also testified and said, this is Paul standing in the synagogue speaking, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all of my will. From the descendants of this man, according to the promise, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus. Meaning from the line of David, Jesus has come on the scene. And God says that David was a man after his own heart. I believe that is an example for us to look at even today and view this verse. Number three, how can we know, everyone in this room, how can we know if we are following God with all of our heart? I've given a few things here for you. To have God's heart begins with the priority, and the priority is a relationship with Him. That you have an intimate relationship with Him. So if you ask the question, how can I follow after God? How can I be called a man or a woman after God's heart? I'm laying it out here for you to look at and to apply it on a daily basis and to help you and encourage you. And first and foremost, you've got to know Him. You've got to accept Him. And secondly, you have to cultivate a relationship with Him each and every day. each and every day. You can't forsake that. I have the habit sometimes of turning on the news early in the morning. That's the first thing I watch. The Lord convicted me of that and said, you need to talk to me before you turn on the news. I'm the only one convicted of that, though. Because, you know, it's like, first of all, when you turn on the news, most of the stuff you're hearing probably isn't true anyway. Secondly, that's how I start my day, by a bunch of negativity that might stir me up and get me upset. And then I'm already moving into the first day upset, or the day that morning, instead of hearing what God has to say, or meditating on his word, or talking to him, or going down by the creek, or taking a walk, or just being still and listening. And so first and foremost, we have to have a personal relationship with the Lord. A person after God's heart makes his or her relationship with him the top priority. What's the top priority in your life? Just think about it. What do you desire more than anything? Think about it. God says, I love you. My arms are open. Do whatever it takes to make me the priority in your life, and watch the benefits you'll receive from it. Make him a priority. David had an overwhelming love and respect for the word of God because it taught him how to draw closer to the Father. David is saying it begins with the word, and the word is called the living word. Jesus is the word. So when we meditate upon the word, we begin to hear what he has to say to us. Look at Psalm 119, 15 and 16. This is David. And first of all, Psalm 119 is all about the word of God. That whole, it's a long psalm, but it's amazing. But here's what David says, 15 and 16. He says, I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. It's so important that we have the light of God's word in our lives. He often sought God in prayer for strength, wisdom, and the Father's presence. Look at Psalm 5, verse 3. I love this one. In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. Does he hear your voice in the morning? Ask yourself that question. You will hear my voice. David's saying, you're going to hear me in the morning. I will order my prayer to you. And look at these next two words. Eagerly watch. I'm going to pray to you. I'm going to bring these things before you. And I'm going to eagerly watch throughout the day for your answers. That's pretty powerful. Begin your day that way. Let's look at four. Psalm 63, 6 and 8. Not only in the morning, but here David is. He's saying, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. I just think that's over the top. I mean, when I read that, he's laying out, this is how you become a man or a woman after God's heart. You meditate upon his word. You meditate upon him, on God. And this is, David is writing down, he's writing what he feels, what he's getting. It's an encouragement. Okay, look at number two here. B. Number one is intimacy, personal relationship with the Lord. Number two, we place our trust in the Lord when facing any trials or difficulties. No matter what difficulty is facing you, your faith and your trust are in God. You're in God and in his word. We place our trust in him. God is for you. He's not against you. He is for you. He is always for you. He is always for you. There is never a moment that you can just say, he's not for me. God doesn't love me anymore. He doesn't care about me. God is always for you. I mean, think of what David went through, and think of how many people David hurt. He hurt a lot of people by his decisions. But yet he was a man after God's own heart, and he knew the love of God for him. He would make sure that he would get in that place of repenting and experience him as an overcoming mom or dad. Man, you want to be a man or a woman that seeks God, especially when you make a mistake. You don't want to run and try to cover it up or run away from it. You want to run to God and bring it before Him and watch what He does for you. Now, it does not matter if everybody else can't forgive you. Is there anybody in this house today? Is there anybody here where the opinions of other people have molded you back into a corner? God doesn't call you into a corner. God calls you to be an overcomer in Him. God calls you to know Him in such a way that you meditate. His word has life, and you seek Him and you have faith and trust in Him each and every day. So no excuse can be given not to know God. Think of David. Think of David and Goliath. David was even put aside, wasn't even claimed. And yet, Samuel says, "Don't you have another son, Jesse?" And he calls David. Think of David. Think of the flack that he got from his older sons. Think of being the youngest and what you go through. Who is he? What's he going to do? Think of all the words, the word curses that were put on, was put on David. But David, I would love to see that playback. I would love to see the brothers, the looks on the brothers' faces as David slew Goliath and cut off his head. I would love to see that. Are you kidding me? It's got to be like this. It's got to be like that. I mean, like for 3 days, standing in one place. It has to be like that. Because this is the little pep squeak, you know, over there keeping the sheep. But that brings up a point. He was faithful as a little guy to the authority of his father, Jesse. Even when he was put down by many, he was faithful to what God called him to. And so it does not matter where you're at right now or what you're doing. If you're faithful to it and you're faithful to God, watch what God will do. I challenge you to give God a chance. Let Him bust doors open for you. God is for you. He's not against you. He wants to build you up. David's brothers definitely didn't believe in him. God, no matter what the hardship he faced, David, and we all have battles, every one of us in this place have battles. While the rest of Israel's warriors cowered before Goliath, terrifying 9-foot frame, David was outraged by how the Philistine dishonored God's name. It's found in 1 Samuel. Throughout his life, he endured extraordinary challenges, but he had this. He had great confidence that the Lord would help him. Where did he get that? I'm telling you, it's from the morning and it's from the evening. It's from meditating on God's word and knowing who God is. It was a personal relationship. And so he had faith and he had trust and he had confidence. And that's what we all need in Christ, to be confident in the things of the Lord. His faith grew, his leadership. Israel prospered under him in a manner unsurpassed to this day. Now let's look at C. The next thing, how can we have a heart that goes after God? We have a strong, passionate desire to obey God. And that word obey takes a hard rap many times. But we obey the Lord in what he says and what he calls us to do. We obey him. The other day, a gal gave me $5 too much in change. And I walked out, and as I was walking out to my vehicle, I counted 2 or 3 times, and it was $5 extra. And of course, the conviction of the Lord came heavy and fast. And I spun around, went back, and I said, "Hon, you gave me $5 too much." And she looked at me like I had 3 heads. She really did. She goes, "Thanks." In that moment. Now, that's a small thing. There's been things I haven't been obedient in. The Lord has convicted me and straightened me out. But the fact is, how are you obedient? When the Lord talks about bringing your tithe into the storehouse, that is such a sticky thing, you know, with people. But I'm amazed at folks that don't ever get that. Or they make compromise that they're giving or doing other things. God says to bring your tithe into the storehouse. Well, I'm tithing here, I'm giving here. I'm designating. No, you can designate all the offerings you want to give to people and do that. That's great. But bring your tithe into the storehouse. How do you think anything happens? How do you think people get paid? to do work and ministry and different things. It's from giving. And there's an obedience right there that so many people have a hiccup on. And I'm just telling you, for your future, wherever you go, whatever you do, if you don't learn the principle of giving and being faithful to it, you're going to always struggle. You may have a breath every once in a while, but you're going to always struggle because you've never learned how to give. Now, I didn't hear a huge amen on that one. There we go. Let me try that again. I didn't hear a huge amen on that one. No, I there you go. See, because if you don't learn that, things aren't going to happen. I didn't say that. God said that. And I would, any one of you want to make an appointment with me and discuss that? I'd love to. I would love to. Not to argue with you, but to point out your blessing. To point out your blessing. I definitely don't want to meet the Lord and know that I wasn't a cheerful giver and faithful in giving. It's crazy, isn't it? As a man after God's heart, David delighted in accomplishing the Lord's will. His obedience wasn't motivated by the fear of sin's consequences. Rather, it was David's trust and his love for God that led him to submit wholly to the Lord. On two occasions, David had the opportunity, listen to this, to kill Saul and take the throne of Israel. Two occasions. Yet he preferred to be obedient to God than to be the king. That's in 1 Samuel 24. He had the opportunity to take the throne and be the king, and he was running from Saul, and Saul was trying to kill him, and he had two opportunities. He had two opportunities to take Saul's life and immediately be in that place of being a king. And he said, I don't want the platform. I don't want the kingship. I want to be obedient to the anointed one that God called. How do you have a heart for God? You honor his authority. You're humble. You obey. Takes us down to D. I'm moving. We demonstrate a spirit of humility when we have a heart for God. This future king also shows us that a person with a heart for God is humble. David had many reasons to be proud. He was a handsome guy, a skilled musician, the Lord's anointed ruler, a triumphant warrior, and a national hero. Yet in 2 Samuel 7:18, David said, "Who am I? Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me this far?" Also, to be a man or a woman after God's heart, we demonstrate a spirit of servanthood. When he was young, listen, when he was young, David accepted his father's authority and obediently tended the sheep as a worker in Saul's household. David offered his very best to the king, including his musical talents and skills as a military leader. Finally, David served the people of Israel wholeheartedly as their king. In each instance, he was a dedicated, faithful servant of the Lord. We conclude with this. Do you desire to mirror? And let me talk about that word desire just for a second. What you desire, what you really desire, you will do. And so, what is your desire? Is it from the Lord? Is it from a place of being with him? What is your desire? Do you desire to mirror God's heart and to influence those around you for good? You would be wise to follow David's example. Make your relationship with the Lord a top priority. If there's anything you remember today, make your relationship with the Lord a top priority. And trust and obey him in everything. And everything is a whole lot. It's everything. Then, when you succeed in anything, God wants you to be blessed and wants you to succeed. When you succeed, remember that all you are and have is a what? A gift from God. Say, a gift from God. 1, 2, 3. A gift from God. Everything you have is a gift from God. Then you will show the world that your heart is an exclusive heart. It's a heart for him. Why don't you stand? Let's pray. Number 1, a personal relationship. Number 2, to trust the Lord. Number three, a passion to obey. Number four, that your life demonstrates humility. Number five, that your life demonstrates the spirit of a servant. And I'll end with the beginning. Having a godly mother is an awesome treasure, isn't it? Because they seek who? They seek Him. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I ask that you take this simple message, and that you'd root it and ground it in us as a people, as individuals, as families, as moms and dads. That our priority would be to know you. Wouldn't be our ministry. Wouldn't be our job. Wouldn't be our garden, our home. Jesus, you said that even family members, that we put more priority in them than you. Man, we're not worthy. And so today, will you help us to rearrange our lives? Will you help us to make you the number one priority? The one who's going to rule and reign forever. The one who seems to be gone right now, but he's everywhere. The one that we give sometimes crumbs to, that we need to be able to give our first fruits to. So today, God, help us to take away all of our excuses, and help us to take away all that hinders the abundance of your love to flow like rain in our lives. And may the water level of intimacy arise. May the water level of trusting you rise. May the water level of our passion to obey your word rise. May the water level of humility rise. May the water level of having the spirit of a servant arise in us today. Lord, you've been speaking. You've been showing up in worship services and different churches and different ministries and people's homes, and dreams and visions are coming. You're trying to get a people that are after your heart that can steward a great outpouring of your presence. Lord, as you said in the house of prayer the other day, very clearly in worship, we pray for revival. We pray for signs and wonders. We pray for a great move, but it will not happen without my love. So grow us up in your love as we make you a priority in our life, so that we can steward in love the move of the last day outpouring, the wonderful harvest. Now, God, bless all the moms today. Bless all the rest of us to honor our moms today. In words, blessing, and servanthood. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. And all of God's children said, amen. Go and have a wonderful day. You're getting out a little early, which is good. Nothing wrong with that. And for those of you that, like myself, your moms are already with the Lord, rejoice. Because you're going to see Him. See them on the Mount of Olives with Jesus. It's true. Be blessed in Jesus' name.